Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, morning.
Yeah, good morning. I have something to say. Right now, there is rubbish building going on Highway 1. People are asked to divert. Some do so willingly, some reluctantly. But the important thing is that they're all divert, every one of them. In a few weeks or months' time, things will go back to normal. Any government of the day, its principal duties is to protect and keep its people safe, locals and visitors alike. I have said on this program many times what the President Habban have said, right? There is no way that you can control an epidemic or whatever it's called. You have reduced the social distancing. You have increased the capacity on public transportation. I ask myself, if when in Parliament, if the members of Parliament sit close to each other, from what I have gathered, no. In life, sacrifices have to be made to achieve goals. I know sacrifice is easy. Everything I hear is about money, the economy, money this, money that. You should not be putting money before people's lives and well-being. It's not going to be easy. Since this COVID start, I've been catching transport board buses. I have not sat in a bus since COVID start. I always stand. Any bus driver will tell you that. I always stand. I am asthmatic. I wear a mask. By the time I step out the house, I have my mask on.
Listen, let me ask you a question. Do you have a comment or a question for the people who are our panelists? Do you?
Listen, did you ask that mother? There's no way he was.
He was interacting with them. You are not. You are here just to do the normal thing. So since we have them here, I don't want to be disrespectful to them. So, you know, do you have a comment or a question for them? Pardon?
I have already. What I would like them to do is to strongly reinforce that the protocols that were initially started, that you go back to them. I would love them to do that.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Let's move on to another caller. Thank you.
David, hello? Can I say something?
Yes.
Hello? Sure, morning, sure. Ms. Ellis. Can you hear me?
Yes, but let me hear the doctor who is about to speak before I come to you.
So
yes,
the last caller who was asking for, you know, the protocols to be reinstated, I would say that, you know, what we would love is more information. The breakdown of the positive cases. That, I mean, right now at this point, somebody said to me, should we shut down or not? I feel like it's a hard position because the information that we now have circulating in the public sphere or domain is kind of reduced. We just have, you know, 40 cases positive today. We have no idea about whether or not it's local transmission or people arriving at the airport who had a second test positive. So to be very honest, you know, I'm sure we would love to offer an opinion, but it's getting harder.
And this comes back to the same point which was made earlier by Dr. Larder, the call for more information and for more specifics, because what is being put before the public right now is a little too vague at times. That's the point that has been made. Yes, caller.
Oh,
thank
yes.
You.
Morning again. You're welcome. Morning, doctors. I want to make a quick point, and then I would like you all to give me an assessment on something here. No, two comments emanating from both of you. One said the doctor said he would have ramped up the test back some months ago, and your comment, ma'am, was about the person lining up by the pipeline, a dangerous thing. Now, with that sort of input from both of you as experts, could you all have passed that on to the relevant people in the Ministry of Health? Because we can't operate off of two fronts. We have you, and you have the BAMP and the medical experts and things. All got to be in unison. So I mean, things that what you're saying, and you all carry your own analysis outside of me, as you have. This is a thing that all the parties have got to come together and work for one common cause. Now, you can answer that, and I'll make another input quickly. You see, you said something there just now about shutting down or whatever. This is me, and I will ask you to say to the public when I am finished, and to the authorities, what is your perspective on both factories shut down and how to advise the public going forward. My take is I will shut down and pull everybody off the road for about 3 weeks. Out of that, you will be able to put a better handle and grip on who's dangerous. Because if you're seriously sick with COVID, my take would be that you have to go and seek medical attention. After the 3 weeks, you can get a clearer picture, and then the seriousness going forward would be, you see that quarantine area? That's the area that you got to up 1,000-fold and make sure to pull back and keep a sort of stability with the quarantine. Call the emphasis has to be this quarantine. No, you can't worry and knock yourself about what's happened. There's already past, there's history. But what would you do going forward and advising the persons how to keep safe and what they should do if they feel any kind of symptom, and to what you would recommend to the government? I regard you for it, please.
Thanks for the call and the questions. Regarding my comment about the polyclinic, I think that's not necessarily about two different fronts. And first of all, I don't think they're fronts. We all want this to succeed. I think Dr. Vlada, myself, and BAMP especially, you know, and I think you don't need necessarily my opinion, Dr. Vlada. We have a very prestigious group of Barbadian physicians who not only understand the science and the literature, but they also understand the resource issues medically in Barbados, and that adds another layer to it. So I would refer or defer to BAMP for, you know, their distinguished opinions, and the protocol is very extensive. Regarding the polyclinic, I think Barbadians were told to not gather, and I looked at the photographs and the stuff at the polyclinic, and that was what was alarming. People were huddled under umbrellas together, and I hope they're from the same household, but, you know, that's the thing I was concerned about. Regarding what we should do, I think measures have already started. So, no, I don't think anyone here is saying that the government has done nothing. Of course they have done things. There are just some other things that I would, you know, have, as I mentioned before, closing the gyms, mostly indoor things that you can't wear masks, so indoor dining, gyms, reducing the number of people on the transport system. And in terms of a full activity pause, or lockdown as people like to say, that requires more information, and that is information that I don't have, and unlike some people, I like to have information to make a considered opinion on these things.
What is the type of information that you would need to make that kind of decision?
So there's information that would be important, and that could be in the public sphere that was there before, like how many local transmission cases. But in terms of what track and trace information the government already has, I mean, I don't expect them to put that in the public sphere for privacy reasons. But those figures and knowing what they have had, you know, the track and tracing and tracking that they've done so far, that would obviously certainly inform decisions, and nobody in the public sphere will have that. But certainly, I would think that should be shared with BAMP. I really think that I would love to see more integration of BAMP. I mean, these guys are the brightest on the island when it comes to medicine, and public health people are in BAMP, because remember, BAMP is medical practitioners, so the public health doctors are a member of BAMP. So this distinction is a little bit, you know, artificial in a sense, to say we have public health doctors and then there's BAMP. BAMP has public health doctors because they're medical practitioners in the association as well. And you also have other distinguished academics, epidemiologists, etc. So I would love to see more, forget about me, I would love to see more interaction between BAMP and the ministry to really see success here in terms of managing COVID in Barbados.
Okay, is the caller still there? Do you want to raise something else? Okay, let's move on.
And can I just say,
Dr. Larder.
I was put in touch with the Prime Minister's office back in April and offered any help, advice that they would care to ask for. And it really didn't come to very much at all. And since then, I've been interacting with Linda Williams and BAMF and trying to help them. And I actually gave a presentation to the Banff meeting the other night on vaccines, the current state of vaccines in the world. And I'm just glad to help, you know, that's all I can say. So the offers have been there, but unfortunately weren't taken up.
What are some of the recommendations that you would make to Barbados at this stage, beyond what we have had from you before? I believe this whole question of, question of communication and the geofencing and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, one thing when I, just talking about the BIM Safe app, I've been following kind of the progress of that over the last few months, and applaud the government having now launched it with the bracelets, so the geofencing bracelets. Although, you know, they're only going to be as good as how long travellers are asked to quarantine for before their second test. Having said that, I was kind of disappointed. I don't know whether you've downloaded it and had a look at it, but I was disappointed that it doesn't really have very much functionality beyond that. One thing that I would have expected was maybe a QR code check-in type of scanning facility, much like the NHS app in the UK. So basically anybody going into bars, restaurants, shops, etc., scans their phone onto a QR code that is at the entrance of the shop. I mean, some of the organizations already do this, but it's centralized and it sends your details of where you've been and when, without having to scribble down names and numbers going into a restaurant or a bar. I know I heard the other day that contact tracing was difficult because they couldn't read the handwriting that people had written out in terms of their contacts on a piece of paper. So that technology exists, and that as does the Bluetooth technology, to basically assess whether you've been close to somebody for a certain amount of time, who has subsequently tested positive for COVID-19. And I think we could do with that on the island at the moment. That would make contact tracing. I think Linda Williams made this point in her Facebook piece, that if we had that facility now, which we could have had for months on the island, it would certainly be a facilitating tool for everybody to have, tourists, locals, everybody, to help the Ministry of Health with their contact tracing efforts, as well as doing their manual efforts, which is paper, pen, and databases.
David, I just have one question for you, actually, because I'm no expert on the technology. So my question about the geofencing technology, it will say whether or not the person has gone out of quarantine. But if I'm in a villa and I'm on my quarantine period in my villa and I have 10 friends come over, how will my geofencing bracelet prevent that breach of quarantine?
Well, I certainly couldn't answer that. I don't know that the bracelet will emit a signal and keep them at bay, but perhaps that's something they're working on. I don't know. This person says here that they want to know how safe is all this talk about masks, wearing masks and sanitizing, because they followed all the protocols, but then they fell ill, got tested, and was diagnosed positive on the first test. There is this divide, a deep divide, over the question of the wearing of masks. And of course, Bob says they have recommended that it should have been made mandatory. You would have heard government say why they didn't agree with the idea of making it mandatory, because some people have allergies and that sort of thing. Where do you two stand on this issue of the mandatory wearing of masks?
I'm not sure about mandatory, but I think people have to understand what the function of a mask is, and my understanding of it, and internationally what it's kind of thought, and I guess why there have been kind of controversy about masks, is that the likelihood is that wearing a mask, if you are infected, is going to reduce your ability to spread and infect other people, which is obviously very important. So you kind of have to wear a mask assuming you're infected. If you're wearing a mask thinking it's going to protect you from everything, then you can still, then you can ignore social distancing, ignore washing your hands, et cetera, then I think you're doing yourself a disservice. So you have to think of masks as actually protecting people around you and offering some protection to you, but certainly not wholesale protection, because I think it's kind of dangerous to fall into that trap. The other thing as well, the key thing really is physical social distancing. And I know that's difficult for a lot of people, everybody really. We're you know, social animals. We it's not natural for us to keep apart from people. But under these circumstances, and I agree with what Anne said, particularly with this new variant, we really don't know whether 6 feet is good enough, or 10 feet or 12 feet. Social distancing and avoiding crowded areas and busy supermarkets, et cetera, has got to be the key. And my observation since being on the island is that that seems to be the one thing that slipped when people have become a bit complacent, that the social distancing aspects of actually protecting yourself seems to have slipped. And I think people have really got to reset and think about that. But sure, wear masks, and whether they're mandatory or not, that's, I have no really opinion on that.
I think, though, that I'm hearing also a very strong emphasis on the British variant. But I think the South African variant needs to be watched very carefully, bearing in mind that this disease came out of Wuhan, China. And therefore, international travel can bring anybody here. In those circumstances, my view is that we need to heighten a concern about how we deal with that as well in the context of the border controls.
I agree entirely, David. Let me just say I agree with what Dr. Lorda said. Primarily, the masks are for reduction of transmission from the person who is positive to someone who is not. But we have learnt with time that there was some secondary benefit to the mask wear, depending, one, on the mask that you're wearing. So, you know, the cloth mask, how many layers versus the surgical mask versus the N95 mask. So, but at the end of the day, I'm 100% in support of wearing masks, because any reduction in risk, considering that masks do no harm, I agree with the wearing of masks. Regarding the variant that is now spreading across South Africa, I think Dr. Larder can go more into the viral aspects of that. But I will say that if you follow, our listeners are reading from the BBC and such, UK has actually now mandated pre-testing within 72 hours of travel. And now you also have to quarantine. I believe it is now maybe a 10-day quarantine. This is because they're trying to keep the South African variant out of the UK. If you want to come out of their 10-day quarantine early, you have to get a test at day 5, not day 1 or day 2, at day 5 in the UK. And they have actually banned travel from the countries even surrounding South Africa. That was on the BBC and ITV. So I think that is not science, but we have to be cautious as well. And this is in South Africa, and someone can say, but we don't have too many visitors from South Africa, but it's only in South Africa until it's everywhere else. You know, so I think we definitely, if we've had an opportunity when the UK variant was brought up as being more infectious, to review our protocols and say, well, you know, it worked when X, Y, and Z, and the prevalence was X, Y, and Z. Will it work with a new, more infectious strain? Now we have this South African variant, which I would probably allow Dr. Larder to speak more on, so he can explain why scientists around the world and governments around the world are actually now quite, you know, concerned.
I think I made a comment on that before, that it is the increase in infectivity and the fact that there's some indication with the South African variant that it may not be as, that current vaccines may not be as effective as against that variant as the other circulating viruses. So that's the real concern in my mind.
Okay, we're coming right back to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks.
Shop these great deals today at Quartz. Save $500 on the TCL 55-inch TV, just $999.99. Save $400 on the Mabe 10-cubic foot fridge, now $899.99. Get 10% off all mobile phones, plus so much more. Shop from the safety of your home. Call us at 431-6850, WhatsApp at 832-9364 or 832-9366, or shop online at shopquartz.com. Special conditions apply. Offers end Saturday, January 9th. Quartz, bringing value since 1965.
The Barbados Light and Power Company wishes to inform its customers that in light of the recent increase in COVID-19 cases and the heightened restrictions by government, the payment office at our garrison location will remain closed, at least in the first instance, until Monday, January 11th, during which time the area will be thoroughly cleaned and sanitized to ensure the safety and well-being of employees and customers. As always, bill payments may continue to be made online conveniently at www.blpc.com.bb. You can also access for web self-service for e-billing online facilities and to submit your queries and service request on our customer support page. Light and Power encourages everyone to follow the protocols, and together let us reduce and end the spread of COVID-19 in Barbados.
ICBL advises our valued customers that effective January 6th, we will resume a fully remote operation until January 14th, the end of the government-imposed curfew. We remain available to serve you online through our website, icbl.com, for payments and renewals, and our drop boxes are available for checks and documents at our Roebuck Street office, Republic Bank in Spitestown, Emerald City in St. Philip, and A1 Supermarket in Black Rock. Additionally, payments may be made through SurePay Online and branches, Republic Bank Online, First Caribbean International Bank Online, and Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union Limited branches for their members only. To contact ICBL, you may email us at info@icb.com.bb or call 434-6000. For road emergencies, please call our OmniPlus team at 434-6004. We urge everyone to follow the government-imposed regulations and stay safe. ICBL, always there when you need us most.
You can imagine either walking about Barbados and I see enough people adhering to the COVID-19 protocols and wearing the masks and sanitizing the hands. But you know what got me blue vex? Is the others that I see walking up and down with their mask on them chin or pulled down and them two nostrils at the door. Man, they can't be for real. They may know that them putting all of me at risk with them behavior. This COVID thing don't play. We got to do better than this, man. So people, come on, man. Wear the mask correctly. Cover your nose and mouth.
A message from the Barbados Government Information Service.
Down to Brass Tacks. Let's take another call.
Morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ellison. You're up on it. How are you doing?
Yes.
I'm just speaking on behalf of common sense. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm just speaking off of common sense. And I was one of the persons that following this COVID-19 from actually December. And actually monitoring Barbados things between February and March. Mr. Ellis, this COVID-19 that people speaking about and trying to tell you to do this and do the next, this COVID-19 is not leaving the world so soon. We've got to live with it. They've got a guy in the States called Dr. Anthony Fauci. I think he's one of the guys that understand this COVID. I think he may be one of the persons who actually know who orchestrated this COVID. He and all cannot get the control. It raises it alone. 3,800 people die in the States. They just produced a vaccine down there in America. And they are telling you it's not a guarantee that this vaccine could assist you or cure this virus. What they tell you, Mr. Ellis, if you are any person in Barbados right now that develop a positive test of this COVID. They lay you down at Harrison Point. This is what I experienced with about 5 or 6 different people, you know. You get test positive with this COVID-19. You get quarantined at Harrison Point. You test positive. You go on out there. Mr. Ellis, they hold you down for about 7, 8, 9, or 10 days. And send you back through the door. Not a toffee, not a mink, not a physic, not a race. They tell you, listen to me carefully, it's going to cure you. Mr. Ellis, what I'm telling you, I want to find out from the experts that you have in the panel there right now. What, mm-hmm. when you send people down to quarantine, what is the medication they give you to cure you from this developing further this COVID-19? What the medication? I ain't talking about there.
That's an interesting question. Based upon what you know of how Barbados is tackling this particular issue, I mean, what exactly is the medication that we've been using? And do you know whether there has been any change in that in recent times?
David, to be very honest, I have not spoken to the treating physicians at the Harrison Point, but I think I wasn't sure if the question was more facetious, but most of the people going to the isolation facility are asymptomatic. I think the government released some, you know, information that maybe somebody was very, very ill. That person will be treated, I believe, according to protocols. I have no doubt about that. But his question, really, you're not going to the isolation center to be cured. Really, it's a metaphorical cure for the country. So when you take the positive people out of the community and the society, you're reducing the risk of transmission. Now, one could argue, but I could stay at home and, you know, I live alone and stuff. And yes, some people will follow orders and stay at home and stay locked in a bedroom. But the risk of the few that will not, or even if they don't do it intentionally, those who live in a house with one bathroom and they end up spreading it to their family members who then go to work, I think what the calculation has been is that the risk of having people at home and spreading disease further is too large to have people isolating at home. So it's not that you're going up there and you're going to get medication to cure the virus. They're taking positive patients out of the society to reduce the risk of transmission to the rest of us. For those who are, you know, actively ill with symptoms and need medication, I am 100% confident that they're receiving the best care available here.